from the historic Corpus Christi Cathedral in Corpus Christi, Texas. We invite you to celebrate with us the sacred mysteries, listening to God's Word, and partaking in spiritual communion. Welcome to the Holy Mass.
Dear brothers and sisters, since the beginning of Lent until now, we have prepared our hearts by penance and charitable works. Today we gather to herald with the whole church the beginning of the celebration of the Lord's Paschal mystery. This is to say, of his passion and resurrection. For it was to accomplish this mystery that he entered his own city of Jerusalem. Therefore, with all faith and devotion, let us commemorate the Lord's entry into the city of our salvation, following in his footsteps, so that being made by his grace partakers of the cross, we may have a share also in his resurrection and in his life. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, sanctify these branches with your blessing, so that we who follow Christ the King in exaltation may reach the eternal Jerusalem through him, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
May you recite the Holy Gospel in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Jesus proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. As he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. He said, "Go into the village opposite you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tethered, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone should ask you, 'Why are you untying it?' you will answer, 'The master has need of it.' So those who had been sent went off and found everything just as it had been told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' They answered, 'The master has need of it.' So they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the colt, and helped Jesus to mount. As he rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road. And now, as he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. They proclaimed, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He said in reply, 'I tell you, If they keep silent, the stones will cry out.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us go forth in peace.
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who, as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we who heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that would rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I might hear. And I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
Lips, they wag their heads. He relied on the Lord, let him deliver him, let him rescue him if he loves him. My God, my God. Surround me, a pack of evildoers closes in upon me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. For my vesture they cast lots, but you, O Lord, be not far from me. O my help, hasten to aid me. Thank you. midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, give glory to him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel.
A reading from St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said,
take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from this time on I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
"This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me."
And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying,
"This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed."
And they began to debate among themselves who among them would do such a deed. Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them,
"The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one seated, is it not the one seated at the table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers."
He said to him,
"Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you."
But he replied,
"I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny me three times that you even know me."
He said to them,
"When I sent you forth without money bag or a sack of or sandals, were you in need of anything?"
They replied, he said to them,
"But now, one who has a money bag should take it, and likewise a sack. And one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, namely, he was counted among the wicked, and indeed what is written about me is coming to fulfillment."
Then they said, but he replied,
"It is enough."
Then going out, he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them,
"Pray that you may not undergo the test."
After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying,
"Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done."
And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test."
While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him,
"Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?"
His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked,
"Lord, shall we strike with a sword?"
And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply,
"Stop, no more of this."
Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and temple guards and elders who had come for him,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time of power of darkness."
After arresting him, They led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said,
"This man too was with him."
But he denied it, saying,
"Woman, I do not know him."
A short while later, someone else saw him and said,
"You too are one of them."
But Peter answered,
"My friend, I am not."
About an hour later, still another insisted,
"Assuredly, this man too was with him, for he also is a Galilean."
But Peter said,
"My friend, I do not know what you are talking about."
Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." He went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying,
"Prophecy, who is it that struck you?"
And they reviled him and saying many other things against him. When day came, the council of elders of the people met both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before their Sanhedrin. They said,
"If you are the Christ, tell us."
But he replied to them,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
They all asked,
"Are you then the Son of God?"
He replied to them,
"You say that I am."
Then they said,
"What further need have we for testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth."
Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying,
"We found this man misleading our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Christ, a king."
Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
Pilate then addressed the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find this man not guilty."
But they were adamant and said,
"He is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even to here."
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought this man to me and accused of him inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him." Have not found this man guilty of the charges you brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him.
But all together they shouted out,
"Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us."
Now Barabbas had been in prison for a rebellion that had taken place in the city for murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus. But they continued their shouting,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate addressed them a third time,
"What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
With loud shouts, however, they persisted and calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been imprisoned for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked, and handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country. And after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and your children. For indeed the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said,
"He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God."
Even the soldiers jeered at him as they approached to offer him wine. They called out,
"If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself."
Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying,
"Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us."
The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply,
"Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
He replied to him,
"Amen. I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said,
"This man was innocent beyond doubt."
When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, in the Sabbath, was about to begin. The women who had come from Galilee with him followed behind. And when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Sisters and brothers, as we begin this Holy Week, we cannot ignore what's going on around us. We cannot ignore the horrors of war and so many other things in our families and our society that seem to be warring against God and the message of Jesus Christ, who is the messenger, the Son of God. Today, Pope Francis sent one of his cardinals to Kiev to be with the people of Ukraine. And it says in there not to condemn Putin, but to be with the people. To be on the front lines with the people and not to condemn. When I read that this morning, I thought how much in line that is with what we are doing today and the rest of this week. The prophet Isaiah prophesies that I will come to be with, to walk with, and to speak to my people. But God did not send another prophet. He sent his Son. And although he was God, he did not hold on to the fact that he was God. He humbled himself, as our second reading from Philippians says to us today. The life of Jesus was a life of humility. It was not a life of power. It was a life of silence, not of yelling. It was a life that brought peace, not war. To follow him is to follow his example in all things. Jesus did everything he did in freedom, and yet it was in the will of God. I have come not to do my will, which people would say that's freedom to do what I want, but to do the will of the Father. What is freedom? What does it mean to be free? It is to do the will of the Father. As we look at this long account of the Passion narrative today, two things strike me. The reaction of the apostles, even in this most intense moment, in which the one that they have chosen to follow, the Son of God, they reacted not the way he would, but the way they would. And so conversion is always needed. When Jesus was in the garden with his apostles, if you reread it, they went away and slept, because they didn't want to face the problem. It was a life of avoidance. We want to avoid the problem so we don't say anything and we sleep. And Jesus corrected them. It was also a little bit of violence. Peter took up a sword against those who were arresting Jesus. And Jesus healed the man who lost his ear and told them to put down the sword. On the other hand, we have those who were against Jesus, who were plotting. Even enemies against enemies plot together as friends to take care of Jesus. They had done that many times. How many times in the gospel we read that they were finding a way to trap him, but they couldn't because of the people, because of the faith of the people. But notice today that Jesus walks into Jerusalem freely. He did what he did freely, not under any kind of force by others, not even from his Father. He did what he did freely. But for us to consider as we continue through this Holy Week, perhaps what is one of the most ultimate signs of freedom is when people were saying to him, free yourself, take care of yourself, you're God. Jesus didn't come to take care of himself. He came to take care of you and me. He came to take care of you, of everyone. He came to take care through forgiveness. Because Jesus' mission was a mission of mercy. It was a mission of forgiveness. And what greater sign is there than on the cross today, when the person called Dismas in history, the second thief, turns to him and says, "Forgive me, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Pope Francis calls him the first canonized saint. We don't think of that. The first canonized, because canonized means we know they're in heaven. And from the words of Jesus, he said, "You're going to be with me today in heaven." It is God who has the power to forgive. It is God who forgives us. But the other striking moment was when he said, "Forgive them, those that are persecuting me, because they don't know what they're doing." Is that not a strange sentence? They thought they knew what they were doing, but they didn't realize what they were doing. And even there, God's forgiveness is boundless. Jesus came to free us from our sins. He came to free us from our small mentalities. He came to free us from our life that leads to war, to bickering, to division. It's not about ourselves. Free yourself. Jesus' message was never free yourself. It was serve, love, even your enemy. And that's what he showed us on the cross. He showed what he said, love your enemy, on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." It's hard, sisters and brothers, in the world that we live in, to somehow grasp that in our minds with all that we see going on day after day. But that is the truth. We cannot deny the truth. We cannot sleep as the apostles did to avoid the need for you and me, followers of Jesus Christ, with our branches and with our ashes, to act the same. And so as we live this Holy Week, who do you need to forgive? Who do I need to forgive? Not just the person today. Could be somebody in my life and my history that I've never forgiven, that I still bring up while they knew what they were doing. They offended me so badly. They don't know what they're doing. Mercy and mercy alone, forgiveness and forgiveness alone, is what will free us. And I think that is the great sign of the cardinal going to Ukraine today. The message is simply forgive, forgive, forgive. All the horrors. And we think, how can that be possible? And I would say, as Jesus himself, that with God, everything is possible, even forgiveness. With God, everything is available to us. Even the words of Jesus coming from our own hearts, "I forgive you because you do not know what you were doing." God bless this Holy Week. God bless you. God bless our church. And God bless our world. If we participate in the gospel of Jesus Christ, our world will change. Our world will be better. If we join our forces with the forces of evil and complaining and all the other things that are out there, we become part of the problem. Our solution is on the cross. Our solution is Jesus Christ. Let's go deeper this week as we celebrate so many beautiful liturgies. And not only look at the externals, but go to the internal life. Even when we receive the Eucharist today, the Holy Communion, it's Jesus on the cross saying, "I forgive them, forgive you, because you did not know what you're doing. I'm with you always until the end of time. God bless this week. God bless you. And God bless our world, especially the war in Ukraine and other places around the world. Let us now profess our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, in accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection, life of the world. In today's first reading, Isaiah testifies, "The Lord God is my help." With Isaiah's faith, we call to mind our needs today and the needs of our brothers and sisters and turn to God for help.
For the church, that our participation in the liturgies of this holiest week of the year may renew in us our faith, our trust, and our hope in the Lord, inspiring us to carry that message to the world through what we say and what we do. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For an end to religious persecution, from the Holy Land to the ends of the earth, so that people everywhere may worship free from fear and intimidation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For those who will be initiated into the church at the Easter Vigil, that their faith may be deepened as they experience the blessings of the Holy Week, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of us, that we may imitate our Lord, accepting our share in his cross and serving others with humility and gratitude, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those caught up in violence, remembering especially our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, that in this time of fear and conflict, they may know God's presence and peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord.
And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of E.J. Villarreal, Marcelino B. Gonzalez, Jesusita J. Canales, Yomedia Gonzalez, Mr. and Mrs. Rogerio Farias, and Alberto Urbina. And for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts, and for all our intentions, spoken and unspoken. Let us pray to the Lord.
Loving Father, lead us as we walk the way of the cross with your Son. May our acceptance of our crosses and our service to others struggling with their crosses deepen our joy in the new life offered to us through the sacrifice of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. pray, sisters and brothers, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice of your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and of all his
children. Through the passion of your only begotten Son, O Lord, may our reconciliation with you be near at hand, so that, though we do not merit it on our own deeds, yet by this sacrifice made once for all, we may feel already the effects of your mercy through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For though innocent, he suffered willingly for our sins and accepted unjust condemnation to save the guilty. His death has washed away our sins, and his resurrection has purchased our justification. And so with all the angels we praise you, and in joyful celebration we acclaim. Good morning. Thank you for being with us this morning to celebrate the Mass in Corpus Christi Cathedral. In the name of all the parishioners here and Father Pete Elizardo, our rector, myself, I want to wish you a very blessed Sunday with your family and friends. And let us continue to pray for one another and for the gift of peace in our world. God bless you and have a wonderful week.